Our passage this morning comes from Isaiah chapter 40. We'll be looking at verses 3 through 5. As we wake our children up every day to go to school, there's times when they're prepared and there's times when they aren't. Most times they're not, right? But some parents have their kids prepared for school the night before, so they'll lay out their clothes, they'll set an alarm, and sometimes that makes things go a little bit smoother. And so as you prepare for things, you're trying to make sure that you've kind of gone over every detail so that you know that you're ready for what's coming. And in Isaiah chapter 40, there's this prediction of something that is coming. So let's look at Isaiah chapter 40, starting in verse 3. It says this: "In the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken." And this is the word of the Lord. Praise be to God. So restoration is coming. You know, Isaiah is saying that there is going to be restoration from the Babylon exile, right? And so what he is doing is, as he is teaching to the exiles, he's bringing them hope, right? They have this longing to return back to Israel, back to the land that God had given them. And Isaiah is saying it's going to happen. The ones in exile that did have hope for deliverance, and they wanted to return to the promised land. We're looking at another passage that quotes this, and I'm sorry, I didn't put it in there, but John the Baptist teaches that there is restoration coming. And it's not necessarily a restoration from the exile, but there's a restoration coming from sin. And he is providing hope to the world. He is preparing the way for Christ. In Mark chapter 1, it says, "The beginning of the gospel of Jesus," this is the words of John the Baptist, "Christ the Son of God, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight.' And John appeared baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sin." Many saw John the Baptist for who he was, the precursor for Christ, the Messiah. Right? And John recognized that someone greater than him was coming. And he knew that. He knew that from the womb, right? And he prepared the way. The story of when Mary goes to her cousin and the baby is leaping in his mother's womb, that's John the Baptist, right? It's interesting that an unborn child was the first to recognize who Christ was, isn't it? That's something that has significance in my mind. And it was John the Baptist, and he was teaching there was a coming salvation. He was teaching in the wilderness. He was a voice proclaiming that someone is coming to fix everything that was broken. There's a long-awaited hope that he is teaching about. There's a long-awaited hope that is about to be realized. The world has been longing for redemption, restoration, peace. And Jesus provides that salvation. Provides that hope for the lost. And how does he do that? Well, he provides that hope for the lost by giving his life, by shedding his blood, so that all those who place their faith in him will be saved. Jesus Christ is the Messiah that fixes all the problems that were created at the original sin in the Garden of Eden. God said, "I'm going to fix it. I'm going to send someone that will defeat Satan, that will defeat death, that will defeat sin. And that person was Jesus Christ. And who was his herald? Who was the one crying out in the wilderness? Who was the one preparing the place for him? John the Baptist. But the story doesn't end there. Jesus did die. He went into the grave, but he rose again, which demonstrated his power over those things that afflict us. And he went to heaven. You know, the Apostles' Creed, it says, Jesus Christ our Lord, who is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty in heaven. But we know, as Scripture has said, that there will be a second coming. Right? We, right now, live in a time where we know that things aren't the way that they're supposed to be. People die, people get sick, people suffer, there's pain, there's evil in our midst. It's not how it's supposed to be. And our hearts know that. And they're crying out for all of that to end. And the God that says, the God that makes promises and keeps every one of the promises that he makes said, guess what? Christ will return. There will be a day when Jesus comes back and all of this stuff that we hate about our world is fixed. It's made new. Right? There will be a new heavens and a new earth. And who is called to prepare the way for Christ to come? The church. Everyone in this room. We've been given a task to make straight the road for our Savior. To raise the valleys and the hills, to make the ground, the rough ground level, the rugged places plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed and all mankind together will see it. How do we prepare the way for Christ? Through our actions and through our words. We're going to mess up. We're going to fall on our face. We're going to do stuff that we don't want to do. But our nature kind of, you know, makes it happen. We are not perfect people. If you find somebody that tells you that they're perfect, they're a liar. It's not possible. This side of heaven to be perfect. This side of Jesus' return to be perfect. But in our imperfection, we are still called to love others, right? So a lot of people think that you don't have to share the gospel. Somebody else will do it, right? But if we love our neighbor, if we love our family, if we love our friends, it must be our task to teach them about who Jesus Christ is, and that salvation comes through faith alone in him alone. That's our job. And how do we do that? Well, we can do it by telling them, but we can also do it by showing them. Showing them that we love them as Christ loved us. Through our actions, we can show the compassion, the love of God. And giving an example, right? You know, around Calvin's time, the church started building hospitals, schools. There's a lot of people that might not understand that modern medicine is a gift from God. Healing is a gift from God. And the church recognized that, and they said, we're going to build hospitals. We're going to build schools. We're going to teach people. Right? Compassion shows the love of God. Obedience shows the love of God. Charity can shine the light of Christ into the world. But all of those things without the message of the gospel, they're fruitless. Right? Because we can fix things in this world temporarily. But we also have to focus on the eternal. So, you know, if you break your leg, you can go to the hospital, get a cast, and right? You can mend that leg, but does that save you eternally? No. It is only the message of the gospel that can save you eternally. How we demonstrate God to the world is how we make straight the road. But we're preparing for the day that we hope for. The day that God promised. You know, it started when He came on Christmas morning. It started when He entered into our world to live a perfect and sinless life, only to sacrifice it to save us. But it continues. That story is not complete yet. It's not. You know, from cover to cover, the Bible tells the entire story of history. And we are still in the covers of the Bible. The time we live in today is still under God's control and power. And He is calling us as His church, as His people, to be the heralds. Like John the Baptist, the messenger in the wilderness. His second coming, we know that things will be made new. Evil is stamped out. All sickness is healed. All the crooked things are made straight. Everything will be as it was designed to be. Everything will be fixed. We know in our hearts, again, this is not how it's supposed to be. Which creates in us a longing for what it should be. And we know that that will come true. That longing will be filled when Christ returns. In a lost world, point to Christ, who provides the ultimate victory over evil and the hope that the entire world is longing for. Amen. Let's pray. God, our Father, we live in a world that oftentimes seems hopeless. You came into the world to bring hope, to bring light into darkness. And oh, how we long to be there when you return. I can't wait to see your face. God, return soon. Bring an end to all the suffering in this life. We're longing for it. God, we thank you. We thank you for the love that you showed to us when you entered into this dark world and brought light. That's why we worship here today, is because you loved us more than we ever dared to dream. And so, God, we ask that you would remind us that we are your children through our faith in Jesus Christ. You have made us whole. But God, help us to be faithful servants. Help us to be people that long to tell the truth about who you are. Through our actions, through our nurture of people, but also in telling them the gospel and the transformation that has happened in our lives because of you. God, as we celebrate Christmas, help us to celebrate as messengers of the truth. God, we pray this in the matchless name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.